As we continue in the first reading during these days, just a historical look at the Old Testament and salvation history. So we're in about the year 650 before Christ, more or less, we can say. And what has happened? They discovered the old law that had been buried and had been forgotten. And so when it was discovered, the king had it read and proclaimed to the entire people. And they were again able to be familiar with the tradition of their faith. No longer just left on their own, making their own, just following the current leader. But they went back to the tradition of the faith. And it produced great fruit, great transformation in the lives of the people who heard it. And it's that law, that teaching, the decrees, the ways of the Lord that we had in the responsorial of Psalm 119, a beautiful reflection on the law of God and how we have to be taught. And that's what the entire Psalm 119 is about. How every two lines it tells us about the decrees, the ways, the precepts, the law, and how we're asking to be taught, to be instructed into that, so that our hearts can be transformed more and more after the heart and mind of God, because that's what the law is. The law is the enunciation, the proclamation of the heart of the Father in heaven. And so we need to be taught that. And so Psalm 119 puts that before us. And then as we get to the end, the ending of the Sermon on the Mount, because of the next couple of days, we have these great feasts that we'll be celebrating. This is the last passage that we'll be proclaimed at Mass in the Sermon on the Mount. And just a great reflection. By their fruits, you will know them. You know, so when in the scriptures, when we speak about the fruits, there's two things we can think of. The fruits that St. Paul writes in Galatians chapter 5, where he tells us the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, modesty, chastity, generosity. Are those fruit, are those things evident in our lives, the life of our parish, the life of our family, the life of the world, the life of the church? Is the Spirit there? Are we producing good fruit? And then the fruit of transformation and conversion. As we are faithful to that law, the tradition of our faith, are we seeing hearts being transformed? And so we pray for that, for the abundant fruit of life-changing encounters with Jesus Christ. And then Jesus gives us that stern warning about false prophets and fake teachers, those who come dressed like a sheep, but underneath is a ravenous wolf. I mean, this is a warning that Jesus gave to his early church. How much more so do we need that same warning? That those who come dressed as sheep might very well be the wolves. So we look at the fruit. Are there conversions? Is the love, joy, peace, patience present in their lives? And then the great saints Mother Church gives us today. John Fisher, bishop and martyr. St. Thomas More, martyr. In the 1500s, when the devil thought once again he was winning and destroying the church with a Protestant quote-unquote reformation, the revolution of Luther and Zwingli and Calvin in Europe and King Henry VIII in England, these two men stood firm for the truth. King Henry VIII was trying to get them to sign a declaration giving him authority over the Church of England so that he could divorce and remarry. And we see it time and time again, the church's standing and teaching of what true marriage is, true purpose of human sexuality, is attacked again and again and again, no different today. John Fisher was the only bishop in the entire country that refused to sign the paper. He was the only true sheep. All the rest were ravenous wolves. And so we pray for our leaders that in spite of any pressure that may come from outside or from within the body of leaders, that they stay firm, even if it means the giving of their life. Interesting note, John Fisher was made a cardinal while he was in prison for standing firm for what the church teaches on marriage. We can look at today, those who are being elevated, and maybe their weak stance on the church's teaching on marriage and human sexuality. Things definitely have changed. We must pray for our leaders. Thomas More was a layman, one of the highest ranking officials in the government. Again, stayed firm, refused to cower in the pressure of giving up his life. His life was at stake. He was willing to die for the truth than to just go along, even though his wife and his children and his best friends were pressuring him to just sign the paper. It's no big deal. Who's going to know? Just go along. That way you won't die. These great men give us an example that when the truth is called into question and it seems like everyone and every institution is bending to the lies of the evil one, let their witness give us courage to stand firm so that we can be true sheep, even if it means giving our life.